Time for a Gaza Corner. As some of you know, I spent almost 2 weeks in Israel and Palestine during the worst violence that was happening. And not only was I in Israel and Palestine, but I actually was staying most of the time in Jerusalem, where the worst violence inside Israel was happening. There was terrible violence happening in the West Bank and Gaza as well. And I was staying in the Old City. I was staying in West Jerusalem, where the Jews are, in the Old City, where the Palestinians are. And I have a lot of observations, a lot of strong opinions, but I will save them for a probably for the next several tangent shows. I will be focusing completely on my trip in Israel and Palestine. The reason why I'm not going to do it right now is because something happened which caused me to prioritize this particular story. One of the things that I did was I met a lot of people in Israel and Palestine, and also met a couple of rabbis. There's a rabbi who listens to Tangents, and he actually set me up with these appointments. Peretz is his name, Peretz Wolf. Thank you if you're listening. One of the rabbis that he helped introduce me to was Rabbi Arik Asherman. He is the co-founder of Rabbis for Human Rights. He's the lead rabbi and president. And I had a very in-depth conversation at his office. And it was, I didn't record it because I didn't feel like he would be feel really free to speak openly, completely to me. And so I didn't record it, but it was really wonderful to meet him. At the time, the violence was really at its peak. And every 2 or 3 minutes, he had to answer a phone because he said, listen, every phone call could be an emergency. Because Rabbi for Human Rights is an incredible organization, really. It's the only rabbinic voice in Israel explicitly dedicated to human rights. It was founded in 1988. They do work in the occupied territories. They have an olive tree campaign. It's really their signature program, in my opinion, and we'll get into that in a moment. They advocate for the rights of the Jahalin Bedouin. They have a program to promote human rights education in Israel. And they also work on behalf of the poor in Israel and help to provide them with the rights for public housing. Again, you can go to rhr.org and learn more about it. Once I left Israel and went to the WOMEX music conference in Budapest, I didn't look at the news in Israel anymore. I was completely swimming in the festival, which is from 9 a.m., to 1 a.m. every single day, virtually without stop. When I got home, I was shocked to learn of a settler in the occupied territories who attacked Rabbi Asherman with a knife and could have easily killed him. This is the story I want to tell you about in Rabbi Asherman's own words. If you go to the Tangents website in the far right-hand column, you'll see links that will also be put on the playlist. What I would like to do is read to you one short paragraph from a Democracy Now! Segment, which was from October 25th, when Amy Goodman interviewed Rabbi Arik Asherman. And also, I'd like to read an excerpt from his own column in Haaretz, which is titled, What I Wish for the Settler Who Attacked Me with a Knife. This is the portion from Democracy Now! For some 13 years, Rabbis for Human Rights has been accompanying Palestinian farmers to get their olive trees. Again, this is the words of Rabbi Asherman. When we started back in 2002, we were being shot at, threatened. Several of our volunteers had their heads cracked open. It was very violent, with the security forces doing nothing. As a result of our high court victory, the Israeli High Court in 2006, the fact is that many Palestinian farmers are getting to lands that they could not get to 2, 5, 10, or even 15 years ago. And now by court order, the army is protecting them to get to those places. Now, I'd like to jump to his article, again, his words, the article in Haaretz, which you have to register to read it. It's a free registration, but you do have to register. And it says, what I wish for the settler who attacked me with a knife, in the moment my attacker nearly became my murderer, did he wonder why he was on a hilltop in the occupied territories, driven to violence because the Israeli army was protecting Palestinian farmers? This is from October 30th. There's also a video that was completely captured of the settler beating up Rabbi Asherman, stabbing him, and almost killing him and throwing rocks at him. The video link is at the Tangents website. This is from the words of Rabbi Asherman from the Haaretz article. How can I say anything positive about a knife-wielding young man who has turned the sanctity of the land of Israel into idolatry? When looking at the awful video of the attack, it's clear that he could have easily murdered me. He was on top of me, my back was exposed, and the knife was in his hand. He almost plunges the knife several times, but doesn't. At the moment of truth, he wasn't a killer, at least not of a fellow Jew. Rabbi Asherman later says, when Amy asks him, what if you were a Palestinian, what do you think? He says, it would have been a different story. Perhaps his intent was just to bloody me up a bit. Maybe, as we read in Genesis 22:12, he heard a voice crying, quote, don't raise your hand against, unquote. I would like to think that he had a moment of teshuvah, heeding God's call to turn from his intended course of action and return to his higher self. The violence started after a Palestinian harvest day below the outposts of the Itamar settlement had ended. Since we won the Israeli High Court victory in 2006, Israeli security forces must ensure that Palestinian farmers safely access their agricultural lands. After the farmers left, Israelis began stealing olives and burning trees. We called the security forces who pursued the thieves, but didn't notice when the fire broke out. I wanted to get a better position to document from afar this wanton destruction that is forbidden in the Torah, but was surprised by an additional Israeli. He kicked, threw rocks, and drew his knife. When he threatened a journalist who had followed me, I protected him. Soon he was on top of me with his knife, hand free. I would like to think that at this moment in which my attacker was an instant away from becoming a murderer, it caused him to ask himself how he came to be on a hilltop in the occupied territories, so angry that the Israeli army had protected Palestinian farmers harvesting their olives, that he was driven to lash out. I hope he has spoken with his fellow hilltop youth, explaining his change of heart. Perhaps his teshuvah will have ripple effects reaching the communities that cultivate extremism, those who look the other way or understand them, and all those who have turned our shared belief in the sacredness of the land of Israel into idolatry by raising it above all other values. Again, the words of Rabbi Asherman. The Talmud decries those who wish to prevent others from benefiting, even if they themselves will suffer no loss. His only loss was the dream of driving non-Jews out of the biblical land of Israel by dispossessing them and denying them the ability to support themselves. We founded Israel correctly, vowing never again. We must have the power to ensure that Jews will never again be helplessly slaughtered and persecuted as we had been for 2,000 years of statelessness. However, our vow has morphed. We have forgotten that long before never again, God commanded us never ever. We should never, even once, oppress others as we were oppressed, Exodus 23:9. We now exploit our power to take from others. The Midrash teaches us that the hand that strikes the non-Jew will eventually strike the Jew as well. The violence against me is the inevitable outcome of the civilian and state violence directed at Palestinians on a daily basis. Quote, the sword comes into the world because of justice denied and justice delayed. Our sages didn't justify the sword, but understood that injustice brings it upon us. We could pin all the blame on the handful of settlers who are extremely violent and the larger settlement community that fosters them and turns a blind eye. However, all of Israeli society has to engage in soul-searching. Too often, even Israelis who oppose settlements act towards the lawless and violent culture that has sprung up with equanimity, resignation, a polite, isn't it terrible, or the feeling that extremists must be appeased in order to hold Israeli society together. State-sponsored oppression of Palestinians, support of settlements, and lack of prosecution encourages extremism. The army deserves credit for protecting Palestinian farmers in the midst of the current violence. However, they believe they must appease extremists to do so. They postpone harvests near the most violent settlements. The High Court explicitly forbids closing lands to Palestinians for their own good when Israelis threaten them unless there is no other way to prevent bloodshed. Yet that is what has been happening. Perhaps in these tense times, we should be more concerned about escalation than insisting on every word of a court ruling. However, giving in to violence whets the appetites of those who successfully extort through violence. If the state announced that it was evacuating settlements because of Palestinian threats, even many opposed to settlements would cry out because that would encourage more violence. If a few settler extremists and their supporters wake up and recognize that they are committing idolatry and abusing their power, or a few Israeli leaders realize that there must be zero tolerance of Israeli and Palestinian violence alike, then maybe my near murder will have been worth it. In the meantime, I and our staff at Rabbis for Human Rights and volunteers are in the olive groves. The words of Rabbi Arik Ascherman, the president and senior rabbi of Rabbis for Human Rights. You can follow him on Twitter at @RAVARIK, RAVARIK, and learn much more at the website rhr.org. And the rabbi, thankfully, has injuries. They're chronicled and photographed on the website, but none are life-threatening, and he could have easily been murdered by the settler. This is a rabbi who I met at length while I was in Israel and wanted to share that with you.